It's not pride to believe God for the best. Amen? Because He gave us His best. He gave us Jesus. But see, the world don't want you. The world, we sung the song, "Let the poor say I'm rich." See, we used to be poor. Because without Jesus, without a covenant of life, we were poor. We had no way of escape. We had no way to prosper. Prosperity just means to be doing better. I'm doing a whole lot better than I was 18 years ago. I smell a whole lot better. Y'all didn't know where the bars I used to hang. I smell a whole, my wife will tell you, I smell a whole lot better. She washes all my clothes. God will do something. God's done something. He's done a miracle. He took me from darkness and He translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son, to the kingdom of light. Amen. There's changes in my body. There's changes in my life. I don't even know are happening right now. Because, see, we're underneath His Word. We're underneath that anointing. That anointing means we are empowered to prosper. That same power that God poured out on His Son, Jesus. And not only did He pour out, He confirmed it. He said, "This is my Son." God's calling you His children. You are His children. He's well pleased with you. He is well pleased with you. Amen? And then, once that power came, Jesus went right into the wilderness to be tempted by who? Who? Not tempted by God, right? He went into wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Because now He had the power, which is God's authority, the fullness that came, to take it to the devil. In other words, to get back that authority. The battle was on. Amen? The devil, he's defeated. Today we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've got some notes, but God's got a lot more to say than I got to say. Amen? Sadly, the teaching of the Holy Spirit's ministry to the degree has largely been neglected in the body of Christ. Talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, many believe that miracles and the Holy Spirit's gifts aren't for us today. Now, not this church, but I'm talking about the church worldwide. In fact, many, in other words, by rejecting this truth, will really limit what God can do in your life. If you reject the Holy Spirit, we're going to get into the book of Acts. We're going to continue in the book of Acts and see what happened when they rejected the Holy Spirit. And a lot of you know it. The first thing I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit, He's a person. He has feelings. He's the third part of the Godhead. And He's in your body. If you've received Jesus Christ, He's in your body. That is the temple of God. If you're born again, that's where He lives. He lives on the inside of you. That's where He makes His abode, on the inside of you, for a purpose. His ministry is to reveal Jesus to you, to me, to remind me of who I am in Christ, in that anointing, in that power, in that person of Jesus. He is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is here to show us and reveal our sonship, daughtership, who we are. Every day. Because see, every day is a new day. Every day, the devil, God never sleeps nor slumber, neither does the devil, because he's a spirit being. But he don't know everything that God knows. So don't give him the time that you need to be giving God time. Focus on Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me." Follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force or he's not a concept. I can give you six ways to live a such and such and such, but that's my concept. But the Holy Spirit, he's not a concept. He is a person. He's so important that Jesus Himself, who is God, did not enter public ministry until He had received that baptism. There's a baptism of water and there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost with power. Jesus didn't do anything until He had received those baptisms. The Bible says that Jesus went to John to be baptized. And Jesus, when He was baptized, Matthew 3:16 through 17, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. See, once you get baptized, there's a purpose. You got to get out of the water. You got something to do. Once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're empowered to do what you're called to do. Before then, he's in you. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, but you don't know a lot of stuff. That's why it takes fellowship, communion with the Holy Ghost, to know what God wants to do today in your life and in the lives of others, because people are watching you. If you were here last week, you heard that. Some of them have been watching you for a short time, but some of them have been watching you for a long time. The devil's been watching you too. Don't pay no attention to him. He's supposed to be behind you. You can't see something behind you unless you've got eyes in the back of your head, right? Well, Jesus is our fortress, right? Let him take care of the devil. You speak the word only. You submit to God. The devil's got to... We resist, but we resist by speaking God's word. That's how we resist the devil, is speaking what God has said, what Jesus has said. And he told the devil to get behind me. And then Jesus went on and did what he's supposed to do. And when Jesus was baptized, straightway he came out of the water, and John said, I saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, a bodily form, and lighting upon him. And a voice came down from heaven saying, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is pleased when you're baptized in His Spirit and working in power. Now, He still loves you if you don't receive that baptism, but He wants you to do great. He wants you to destroy the works of the devil, and it's going to take us communion with the Holy Ghost to do it effectively. Say effectively. We can still do good things without His baptism, but is it going to be a God thing? In other words, God wants us to do, He's created us for good works. But there's a lot of works we can't do unless we know we're endued with power from on high. I tell you what, before I knew the Holy Ghost, I didn't know I could cast out a devil. I didn't know I could lay hands on the sick and they should recover. I didn't know that until I was baptized, because in me I can do nothing. That's what Jesus told me, and I believed that. I knew that. I was a nothing. But then Jesus saw me being a something with His mighty power and His love. Jesus would not operate independently of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus, the sinless Son of God, needed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit before He could do His ministry, who do we think we are that we don't need the Holy Spirit and His power? God wants you to have it. Everything that Jesus has is yours, but He's not going to force it upon you. My wife has bought me many suits, many coats of many colors. Some of them I've outgrew. I got to get back into. They're still at the back of the. They're at the back. But she's not going to put it on me, right? She bought it, but I need to put it on. I need to go get it and wear it. Where God has purchased our salvation fully, wholly, He poured out His Spirit upon Jesus, and Jesus wore it and made the Father pleased. He wasn't proud to wear it. See, pride is of the devil. We need to forget pride. God is pleased with us. I'm pleased with my children. That's something I had to change. See, because pride is a death. It's a form of death. That's what was found in Lucifer. Pride was found in his heart, and he rebelled against God. See, we can confuse our heart. Jesus thought so highly of the Holy Spirit's ministry that he taught extensively about him on the night before his death. Why? Jesus knew once he left this scene, there was another one coming. They needed to know him. They needed to have a relationship with him. See, you can't see me. We can't see Jesus physically, but he sent us another comforter just like him. Just like him. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to his Father and that they wouldn't see him anymore. But he told them that it's expedient for you that I go away. For Jesus said, if I go not away, the Comforter, that's one of the Holy Spirit's name, is Comforter. A Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. I believe what Jesus said. He is the truth. He don't tell me no lie. If he's leaving, but he said, I'm going to send you another, I'm going to hang around until I see the another. Right? Just like Jesus. He's going to talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, smell like Jesus. He's going to be just like Jesus. He's going to be good. That's all Jesus did. He went around doing good. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He had something good to do. You got something good. We got something good to do. Love people. Now, just stop and think about this. Jesus had been with the disciples for how long? 3.5 years, teaching them, discipling them. He did countless miracles and taught about the Father like nobody else had ever heard. And then he was just going to leave? Getting out of here. Yet he's telling them, that's your advantage that I go. Jesus knew it was an advantage. He wouldn't have told them if it wasn't. It didn't feel good to the flesh. See, the flesh don't like it when somebody leaves. You get close to somebody, you spend your time, you invest in that person, in the flesh, and then they leave. You don't want that. You don't want to leave. Jesus didn't want to leave. But his purpose was finished at that particular time. The Father and Son already discussed this, and the Holy Spirit. They didn't determine what was going to happen. But it's not always easy in the flesh, but it's possible in the Spirit. Amen? That's the Spirit's purpose, is where you're weak in the flesh, then I'm made strong. Let the weak say, see, we're weak in the flesh, but let the weak in the flesh say, I'm strong in the Spirit. Yeah, it's hard in the flesh, but I can do this. Because Jesus said, you will do this. I loved it when Peter denied Jesus. Before the denial, Jesus said, but Peter, I'm going to pray for you that your faith faileth not. Jesus knew Peter was going to fail him in the flesh, but he loved him. Jesus also knew this is one of the 12 that God said, you choose. He trusted what his Father told him, that this was going to be an apostle. This is going to be Peter. This is going to be the rock that was going to build his church after he left. And Jesus prayed for Peter, that your faith faileth not. Don't look at your flesh. Don't look at your past, where you failed God, failed yourself, failed your family. If I looked at that, I wouldn't do nothing, because I'd see myself as a failure. But look at what Jesus did. He prayed for you in the garden. He prayed for you every day. I'm talking about you. We wasn't here yet, but he saw us in the future. That's why he came. That's why he had joy on the cross, because he heard the praise team at Word of Faith Worship Center singing about it. He had joy. That's why he hung on that cross and was like a lamb that was slaughtered and didn't say a word, because there was something greater that he saw. He saw the greater picture. He saw the end from the beginning. And he would not curse. He would not curse. But he gave us the greatest gift. He gave us life. If I asked, would you like to see Jesus in his physical body standing right here? What would you say? Oh, yeah. Or would you rather see the Holy Spirit? Now I gave you a choice. But see, I know you guys, you're disciples here. I'd say I want all of the above. We want all three, all four. Father, Son, Holy. We want all four is me. I'm the fourth one. We're going to have a foursome here. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and me. Called a team, unbeatable team. Amen. Terry, we're going to hear your brother sing again. Until then, you might sing us some songs. Amen. See, that's joy. See, that's you got hope. You know where your brother's at. I was reading this morning. My wife, we're just sitting in there in the living room this morning, as I'm just reading. I want to get more of the word in me so y'all can squeeze it out of me. And her brother, you know, he's gone on to be with the Lord now a few years. Maybe not even a few years. But when we first got born again, he was a teacher. And we had Bible studies. We went from house to house. We started our house, had Bible studies, and he was there. He was teaching us. And as I was reading in the book of Acts, remember Philip, the evangelist. The evangelist is one that goes and shares good news. Evangel Worship Center. They're taking good news to the world. Well, Philip was sent by God, by the Holy Ghost. He didn't know it all, but he knew the voice of the Holy Ghost. He knew when the Holy Ghost said, go, I'm going. That Lord, goers and senders. I heard that at some missions training there. There's goers and there's senders. Amen. And he went. And there was a Philip, there was a eunuch. He was over a queen's treasure. He's an important man. He's an important man. Got a lot of people. Got access to a lot of money. Treasurer. But more than that, he's got access to influence a lot of people. See, it ain't about the money. It's never about the money. It's about the vision. It's about the purpose of getting somebody out of the kingdom of darkness and seeing a Billy Graham out here or a Franklin Graham. Anybody know Jesse Duplantis? White-haired preacher that's full of love, full of joy. He didn't used to be that way. He was full of the devil. It's like us all. We get our hands up. We were all full of the devil at one time. We were born into that. Some are fuller than others. But God's not looking at how full you are of the devil. He's looking how much if I can get my spirit in you, that you'll take that and you'll work it to the kingdom of light. But Jesse heard Billy Graham preach a sermon while he was in the restroom. He was in a rock band, on drugs, drinking. But something about what the Holy Spirit gave Billy to say that night, it ministered to Jesse. And he gave his life to Jesus. See, don't look at how far somebody's gone. Look at to Jesus. Look at how much power he's got. If we'll just say, if we'll be the hearer, Philip heard the Holy Ghost say, go up beside that chariot. There's somebody that wants to know something. And go listen. And Philip went up beside the chariot, and that eunuch was reading out of the book of Isaiah. Philip must have been maybe a short man, or he might have been behind the chariot, but he was listening, and he heard somebody reading the word. See, you can't hear somebody if you don't read. So I guess this eunuch was reading it loud enough, and then Philip asked him, how readest thou? Do you understand? And when I read that, Sherry's brother used to always say, he would ask us the scripture, and when we say it, he'd say, how readest thou? And when I read that this morning, I just heard the Holy Spirit saying, Sherry's brother encouraged me. Go on. You know, we get that encouragement. They're not lost. They're in our future. And they're able to see things in this earth that we really don't know. They're able to see things. Whatever God's opens up for them to see. They're looking into things down here. They're cheering us on from the choir in heaven. And when I read that, it just encouraged me. I just got that. Yes, go on. Fight through the flesh things. You know, you want to go to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. Just not today, right? Not today. We want to finish our course. How readest thou? And Philip jumped up in that chariot. See, the door was open. He said, come up here. And Philip took him where he was reading and revealed Jesus to him. And after that, the eunuch said, man, there's a whole lake of water right here. What's forbidden me to get down here and get baptized? Get baptized. Philip said, nothing. Come on, let's do it. Let's go. They jumped in the water, got baptized. And you read, as they come up out of the water, Philip, it said the Holy Spirit took him. Remember Jesus, when he straightway come out of the water? The Holy Spirit took Jesus right into the wilderness to be tempted. But Jesus had something to say to the devil. Soon as Philip came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit took him, translated him bodily, and took him on down the road. The eunuch, he's like, man, where'd he go? But he forgot about Philip because he had Jesus now. He knew the scriptures now. It had been revealed. See, the Holy Spirit is there to reveal Jesus to us, to manifest his love for us. Amen. He's an encourager, the Holy Ghost. That's his ministry. He's not. If somebody's condemning you, telling you, why ain't you paid your tithes? If you ain't paid your tithes, you know God's going to take it out in doctor bills. He's going, you know, your washing machine's going to break down. That's not God. That's a ministry of condemnation. That's the devil. That's religion speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is there to encourage you. Get up. Go on. If you prayed for somebody and things didn't happen, well, get up and go and do something else. He's there to encourage you because I'm not the healer. I'm not the Savior. Jesus is. Keep telling them about Jesus. Because Jesus is where the power is. And He's there to hook us up. This is His ministry. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is to reveal Jesus to you. What He's done. What He did. Because He wants to do the same thing in your life. Not only in your life, but He wants you to go out and do something for others. One reason for this is that, in other words, the Holy Spirit being misrepresented is because many Christians believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who makes them feel condemned. But He's not. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. You know, ladies, and I'm not one so much. My wife, she's always at home, cold and covered up with blankets, but you know, you can get those big coverlets. She likes to monogram all these comforters and blankets. When you get that comforter, it does something to you. You pull it over your body and it comforts you. Whether you're cold, brings you heat, or sometimes you just like to snuggle with something that means something to you. Well, you can do that with the Holy Ghost. Jesus wants to hug with you, snuggle with you. He wants to fellowship with you. In other words, God wants the people He can talk to. He don't want to dwell in a tent. He don't need all these sacrifices of Lord. Now we're talking about Old Testament. They bought the calves, all these sacrifices. Well, He don't want to hear about what you did. Well, Lord, I did this for you, and Lord, I did that for you. See, that's all about you. He wants your sacrifice of praise and worship. Tell Him how good He is. Lord, how good You've been to me. Even though you're in the midst of a tribulation, start telling Him, Lord, I know, Lord, You're so wonderful. The Holy Spirit's there to comfort you. And you start praising and magnifying God instead of magnifying your problem. You have the peace. That peace starts settling in on you. Next thing you know, the anointing, that power, things are changing in your metabolism. Things are changing in your body. Endorphins or whatever they call start changing. Cancer cells start dying. High blood pressure gets back normal. Don't you got to figure out how? Just to figure out who. Jesus did it for you. Amen. He's the healer. You know, go to college, go to school, you learn. But learn of the Lord. Remember, Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit before He did one miracle. He was empowered with that empowerment from on high. But once He got it, He had it. Once you get the Holy Ghost, once you baptize in the Holy Ghost, there's evidence you'll speak in tongues. The Bible says that. When you're filled with something, you're going to speak with something. When I was filled with the world, I spoke like the world. I looked like the world. I smelled like the world. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I spoke like God. I looked like God. Amen? You're singing a different song. You might be humming the same tune, but the words are singing something different. Amen? I forget all those old sad songs. Now, you got to get away from that stuff. Because you can't just sit around all that stuff and expect the Holy Ghost to, you know, you got to change your atmosphere. You got to change your place. Amen? Change your friends. Change your clothes. Amen? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? It'll change you. You'll want to do that. He's not going to make you do anything. Jesus, in Hebrews 13:8, says Jesus Christ is the same and forever. He changes not. Jesus is God. The Godhead is one in three persons. The Holy Spirit is the same today as He ever was. The same day when God said, light be, and the Holy Spirit made light come to be. He's the same Holy Spirit when Jesus said, you are healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Cancer, you're dead. Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit on the inside of you is there recreating something that needs to be created if you'll only believe. Hold fast your confession of faith. Hold fast your confession of faith is believing God and acting like it. In the book of Acts, Philip said, I got some good news. I got to go somewhere and tell somebody. Where, Lord? Where would you have me to go? He asked. God don't want to send you everywhere. He wants to send you to the right place at the right time. Be there, doing that. Amen? Somebody's reading the Word. Somebody's asking questions. It's okay to ask God questions. You're the answer. You got Jesus. You have the answer. We have the answers. Some people are not quite there yet. You've got an answer they don't have yet. And they're asking, God wants to send you and me to be a sender. Be a doer. Amen? Be a doer. And all you've got to do is say, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, here I am, send me. Before He sends you, He wants you to have His power. Before Jesus went, before God sent Him, He empowered Him. He empowered Him. Amen? That same power is still relevant today. It's here today. Let's look at an account of the Holy Spirit coming to reside on the earth. Right before Jesus was caught up into heaven, Acts 1 and 4. Acts 1 and 4. I told you we'd get to the books of Acts. That was all just introduction. All intro. Say, God is able. Yeah, say, God is able. God is able. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. He's able. Some people might think, well, that's in the book of Acts. No, God is able. He's able to do more than you can expect, if you'll expect it. Terry, you know when your wife was pregnant and expecting. Am I right? It took a little while before, unless she just told you, it took a little while for you to see it, right? There was a change that happened, right? It happened on the inside before it happened on the outside. It took two. It takes two to have children. And God sees two as covenant, man and woman in covenant in marriage relationship with God. But once that woman conceives, she's pregnant. She's expecting. She's expecting. See, once we take the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is there to implant it in our heart. He's there to keep that Word, keep revealing how good God is, to manifest. He's there to make sure that Word comes into manifestation. Amen? But you got to do the conceiving. I got to spend time with God. I got to get into His Word. And see, to get the Word in my heart, that's called fellowship. That's called building a relationship. And that's getting the seed of God's Word in my heart. Whether you need a miracle, whether you need finances, whether you need whatever you need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. You need God's Word in your heart. See, the Holy Spirit can't give you something that's not there. He's there to manifest, to bring back to remembrance everything that you put in there. Whatever you've implanted in your heart, the Holy Spirit's there. He's like the Hebrew women had midwives. He's like your midwife. He's there to help you deliver this thing. You getting a picture of this? I'm glad my wife had a doctor delivering that baby because I couldn't have helped much. But I did help. She couldn't have that baby without me. You can't have a miracle without Jesus. You can't have a blessed life without Jesus. But you get Jesus and you can have all kind of babies. You can have good things. So I'm trying to think of bad things, but I really can't think of any right now. Because He's made so much bad in my life good. Amen? I don't even try to think about what I hear going on in the world. Because I want to have ears to hear. I want to hear what Jesus is saying. See, we can get so fine-tuned that we tune out the world. Let's stay on 94.1. That's God's station. K-Love. I love Jesus. I believe everybody in here loves Jesus. We need to hear more of what He's saying. That means we need to stay on His channel. Stay on His channel. Stay on that channel. Thank you, Lord. Call it the Holy Ghost channel. Acts 1 and 4 is a good channel. Acts 1 and 4 said, being assembled together with them, He commanded. He didn't suggest. He commanded them not to depart. This is before the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. See, it hadn't been poured out on Jesus. Everything that Jesus has, He said, everything I have is yours. Everything the Father gives me, I'm going to give to you. Everything that the Father gave Jesus is ours. He said, but you wait. I'm telling you, you wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. See, Jesus is working with the Father. He's not working His own thing here on the earth. He didn't say, I come to do my will. He said, I came to do the will of Him that sent me. That's how we're going to get things done, is doing exactly what God sent us to do. He hasn't sent all of us to pastor or preach. He sent us to do different things. But He wants us, one thing we can't do without is His power and get it done. He said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, he's a person. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, they done locked, the disciples done got off track again. Jesus talking about the Holy Ghost, they talking about the kingdom. Them being kings in the kingdom. You're going to restore the kingdom. Jesus has already said, boys, I got to go. I got to get out of here. I'm sending you another comforter. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Concord, and to the end of the earth. Amen. During the days of the early church, God confirmed the apostles' teaching with signs and wonders. Say, signs. Sometimes you're the sign for God to do a wonder on. Amen. So take your signpost and put it down. Say, Father, I'm a sign. Do your wonder work in me. Let him do it. Here I am, Lord. You said I need power. Fill me with your power. And once you've received it, you've got it. Don't ask for it again. But there are other feelings. Just because you've received him, just because I drank a Coke yesterday and had a smile, don't mean I don't want to drink another Coke when I get thirsty again. Now see, there's many feelings, but there's only one initial feeling to where he's in you. You've been baptized with his mighty power. Now believe it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in your most holy faith. Continue to be filled with his Spirit, with his power. And you'll be changed. I was changed. I'm still being changed. We're always being changed to the degree that we continue to study the Word, pray the Word, meditate the Word, do the Word. In other words, be that witness. Whatever he's telling you to do, whatever he's told you to do. But say, Father, I will do it. I will do it. And you ain't got to tell the devil your plans. He don't even know your plans. You do what God says do. Jesus said once you're going to get that, you're going to be endued with power. Signs and wonders he's going to confirm by the preaching and teaching of his word. Who's going to do the signs and wonders? God is. God is. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about his ministry today. His desire has not changed. He's still the miracle worker. He's still opening the eyes of the blind. He's still raising the dead. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, what do you think the Holy Ghost was? He was in there getting him up. He was the power that raised him up. The Holy Ghost raised him up and walked out with him. Walked out with him. Praise God. But Jesus had to declare something. He had to call his name. Lazarus, because see, Lazarus was dead. And when you leave this earth, your voice is gone. But Jesus has a voice that called from the dead and said, my friend Lazarus, come forth, because he is the resurrection and the life. If Jesus calls you forth, you're coming up. I said, if Jesus calls you forth, you're coming up. You just might need somebody to help take off the clothes, some of the grave clothes sometimes. But he's the power within that's going to cause you to go without and do the things he's called you to do. Amen. That resurrection power. Resurrection power. Even today, the Word of God should be preached. Even today, the Word of God will be preached at this church. And it will in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and not with words only. 1 Corinthians 2:4. These are not my words. These are God's Word commissioned right out of His Word to be spoken. And we as believers here at this church, we're going to be expecting signs and wonders to follow the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He is going to manifest it. He's going to bring it to pass because God is faithful. And we're going to believe it, we're going to preach it, and then we're going to receive it. And we're going to watch God get the glory. The Holy Spirit's been promised. I want to take us a little bit further in Acts, not too much further. We're going to pick up there verse 9. Jesus said to wait till you receive this power, to be witnesses. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, Jesus was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, by the disciples here. And they also, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from heaven into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." We're going to see the Lord again come from heaven. "And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And they entered and went up to the upper room where they were staying." Now they stayed there, verse 14, "they continued with one accord." One accord. In other words, what Jesus had taught him for 3.5 years, and then what he just said, he said, "You go and you wait." They stayed and they prayed. They're waiting. They don't have any other instructions yet but to wait right here. 120 of them waited. Waited. What, that word wait, was that they wasn't just sitting there. They were waiting, praying, expecting. 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 Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. His brothers. We're going to skip on over a little bit. Let's go to chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost," say the day. The day is your day. Whatever you've been waiting for, so they were told to wait. We're not waiting on the day of Pentecost anymore. That's done came. We're waiting on the fulfillment of God fulfilling His Word. What we preached this morning, what we sang about this morning, whatever you need this morning, that's what you've been waiting for. That's what you came here for. The world's waiting to see. Amen? They're waiting to see the church glorified. Jesus is coming for a glorified church. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one set upon each of them." Each of them. The Holy Spirit's gift is for each one of God's kids. Individually as He wills, but the gift of the Holy Ghost is yours. And it was sitting on each one of them. Sitting there for a purpose. For a purpose. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit can sit on you. Amen. The glory of God is like heaviness. That glory means heavy. Heaviness. I ain't talking about burdens. I'm talking about the power of heaviness. Glory of God. "And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them that utterance or the inspiration." See, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they began to speak with other tongues. That was a sign. There's that sign and wonder. There's one of the signs. "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused." They didn't know what was going on. Why? They didn't have the Holy Ghost. "Because everyone heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another," they were asking questions, Lewis. They were asking questions. What's going on? Oh, they drunk. It's about the, you know what time it is? It's about 9 o'clock. They all drunk. And they just all up there babbling. Now, that happened years ago in the Tower of Babel. They were drunk with the world, and God had to come down and confuse their language because it was wicked. All man's thoughts were evil back then. God confounded the language then, but this is a new day. Jesus has came to the earth. Jesus has came to the earth. Now it's able for God's Spirit to be poured back into mankind and to be filled with His Spirit, not the spirit of the world. Jesus said the spirit of the world. Jesus said the world can't receive My Spirit. They can't receive the Father. But you different. God chose you. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Amen? And there it was. What are we going to do? What is this that we hear in our own language? All these different languages. And in verse 13, they said, others mocking said, they full of this, they drunk, full of new wine. Say, but Peter, full of the Holy Ghost. Say, but Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, stood up. He didn't deny Jesus this time. He stood up for Jesus. He stood up for the Lord. Because they weren't speaking what was right down there. We're not drunk with wine. We drunk with God's new wine. We drunk with the Holy Ghost. Stood up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. I got something to say. For these are not drunk as you suppose. See, don't look at what people out here in the world don't know God. Say, well, you know, speaking in tongues, that's of the devil. If they don't have God, they don't even know what speaking in tongues is about anyway. Why should you be listening to them tell you about something you got from God? The world can't understand God, but you can because He has made Himself known to you. I have the witness from the Holy Ghost, and I know I am saved. I am born again. I don't worship all these other gods. I worship the one true God, Jehovah, and His Son, Jesus, whom He sent and delivered me from my chains, of my addictions, of my devils. Yeah, He set me free. I'm a witness. I witnessed that fact. I've got an experience, amen? I've got an experience with God. And He wants to have an experience with everybody if they'll just let Him in. If they'll just receive that power, receive that baptism, amen? Peter stood up and had something to say. And he preached right there. And they magnified, they were magnifying God. When they were speaking in tongues, all that interpretation was, they were magnifying. They heard them say they're magnifying all these miraculous good works that God had done. It wasn't about them. If you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it ain't about you. It's about God. And giving Him honor and giving Him glory. Things started happening that day. Things changed that day. 3,000 people got saved that day. And that was just the beginning. And it ain't never stopped. Amen? And it's getting better and better. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Amen. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus, and we're saying this by faith too because there's some on the internet that haven't walked foot in this door in this church that are coming. But if you haven't received Jesus, that's the first step of your life being changed. He wants to take you. He wants to meet you on your road to Damascus, and He wants to set you free from the world. Just like He set the apostle that was at one time Saul. He set Saul free. He set him free. If you haven't received Jesus, I'd ask you to believe and receive Him today. He wants to be your Lord, and He wants to be your Savior. If there's anybody here that hasn't received Him that wants Him, let me know. Thank you, Lord. If you're out there and you're listening to this, in your radio, on your radio, you just heard some good news that Jesus loves you. Died for you, bled for you, rose out of the dead, rose out of the grave for you, and then gave the promise of His Holy Spirit from His Father to you. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, today's your day. If you're here in this church, you've never been filled with the Spirit, spoken in tongues, today's your day. Jesus is asking you to come. I ask you to come, but He's not going to make you come. If you're here today and you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, come down to this place. Come down to this altar. By radio, if you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, all you got to do is say, Jesus, I want to be endued with your power. Fill me, Lord, to overflowing. Let your Holy Spirit be released. Baptize me. We see Jesus baptizes you into the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Believe it by faith and say, now, Father, I thank you, Lord. I will kimblasete, kimblose. I will speak with a new tongue. If you're here in this church and you need that baptism and haven't spoken in tongues and want to, today's your day. We'd like to agree with you, pray with you, because God wants you to do the mighty works that He's called you to do. And I can't tell you nothing that Jesus, you can't accomplish it without it. Because I was without it, and then I received it. Am I saying you're not going to go to heaven? No, you're going to heaven. But God wants you to have a victorious life down here before then. That's for all His children. He's no respecter. If you need that gift this morning, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit by way of the internet, you've asked. Now just by faith, speak in tongues. It won't be your tongue. It'll be God inspiring your tongue. It'll be a different language. And then ask the Lord for the interpretation. Lord, show me. He'll give you dreams. He'll give you visions. And night, He'll show you things. If you need to understand this, write this church. Come to this church. We've got books that help you understand the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is good. Now, we've preached the Word this morning. The Bible says God fulfills His Word with signs and wonders following.